Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads. Lord, we're truly appreciative for your grace. Lord, for allowing us again to be able to come and to gather. Lord, with great anticipation of you speaking to us. Lord, knowing by faith, trusting, you'll grant to us the revelation of the word that you have for us. Lord, that we may draw closer and Lord, to be able to gain another rung on this ladder of life, Lord. Father, your coming is so close. Pray that you would just bless us. Lord, and may we all feel the urgency to receive from you. We ask that you would just bless us now. Keep us in thy perfect will. Draw us ever closer to thee, we pray in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you would, in our capstone books on page 80. I'd like to start there. Sheltered in his arms. Hallelujah. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. Saints, rough here on this life. So glad he shelters us. Praise his name. Page 59, over just a few I'm going that way. Let's just sing. Amen. Never grow old. It's one of the nice things going to be. Amen. I've heard of a land. Let's see. Start with the chorus. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land.
by Jesus on high. Oh, there will never shall die. It's a land where we never grow. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, never grow.
Amen. A little chorus, and then I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. Hallelujah. And then I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my trials will be over, and I'll rest forevermore, and my eyes will be on Jesus worry, all the promises, what we have to look forward to.
Amen.
Can't wait.
Hallelujah.
How many have requests for you?
Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Jim, would you like to take the request tonight?
Lord, we thank you for another opportunity.
Yes.
And the grace and mercy that you would allow us tonight to come here, hear the word, and preach lost and lost.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. A lot of stuff that we don't even know, or don't even realize what's happening, but you're there, Lord, leading us and guiding us.
Yes.
And we ask now that you would just, each hand was raised, bless them, Lord. Give them what they need. It's in your will, Lord. And may everything we do or say be for that glory and honor. In Jesus we ask.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? I should keep coming.
In the midst of this dark world of chaos, can God find someone on whom he can depend? One who yield and walk in his spirit? Just one, oh, who can he send? Lord, I'm willing to go. For I felt a coal of fire from your presence touch my soul. It's burning out my own ambitions, renewed in such a sweet, sweet longing just to live in your spirit. Here am I, send me. In the midst of death and lukewarmness, is there one who feels the challenge to rise above this realm of human senses? Just one who lay his life aside. Here am I. Lord, I'm willing to go. For I fail. Burning out my own ambitions, renewed in me such a sweet, sweet longing just to live in your spirit. Here am I, send me.
Of course, only believe. Just ask her brother to come. Yeah. Amen.
Only believe. Oh.
We're truly grateful for this opportunity you've given us this evening together. And Lord, we've truly come with hungry hearts. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless your word to our hearts, Lord, and bless our hearts to the receiving. And Lord, through it all, may you receive the glory and the honor from it, Lord, that it would help us along life's way, Lord, that we would be more pleasing to you in everything that we do and say. And Lord, we ask it all to your glory and honor in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Happy to be here tonight. Yes. While you're still standing, I'm going to turn with me to the book of John in the 17th chapter. Amen. Just a little something tonight, just to stir up our hearts by the renewing of our minds.
Amen.
And the Lord kind of was dealing with my heart on something, and it's more of a teaching message. And our pastor has actually already taught on it, and I'm not a teacher. And I'm not going to try to do that. So I'm going to renew your mind to some things tonight and praying that God will let it stir in our hearts in a way that the message is recorded and it's back there that our pastor brought and the Lord laid on his heart. And I think it would maybe do us all some good to just rehearse and re-listen to it and let God speak to our hearts concerning it. But here in the book of John in the 17th chapter and beginning at the 3rd verse, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. May the Lord add the blessing of his word, and you may be seated. And just a little different thing tonight, you know, I was kind of, just a lot of different ways that you can look at this, but I want to read something here in the absolute that the Lord kind of struck my heart with to just kind of bring back to our remembrance. And, you know, you may say, well, this, it may not be a great jumping, shouting message, but it's a checking up time, saints, and a time to just make sure and to weigh ourselves with each word. And it's so often as we come in here to say, and actually the message that I was going to mention, that message that our pastor preached, it was knowing him versus knowing the word. And we live in such an age where it's become a scientific age, as it's been said, and everything is learning. And the prophet's message has become to that stage in life that it's been taught, just like the scrolls was back in the Old Testament. You know, as the children grew up and everybody grew up through life, the scrolls was presented to them. This is what the Lord done, and this is what happened. And all of it was true, and all of it was placed in there. And Paul, the great apostle Paul, as he raised up under Gamaliel, studying these things, and studying the scriptures, and studying the law, to make sure that he was exactly right in all that he had learned. But I want you to stop as we begin here, as Brother Brandon's going to speak about Paul a little bit, and this is in the Message Absolute, preached January 27th, 1963. And he says, this is paragraph 83 on page 10. Now, Paul had a Christ-centered life.
and that Christ was Paul's absolute. He had been a great teacher, Paul had, and he was taught under Gamaliel, a great teacher he was. Under the denomination of his Pharisee background, he was taught, schooled, and he had a great background. And we might have been raised in this message, and we might still be in this message, and we might have a great background behind us. But Paul still had to meet him. And I want you to catch that as he goes on here as he says that. He says, I think when he received the Holy Ghost and went down into Egypt for 3 years, I think it must have been there where he got to taking the scripture and comparing it with the revelation that he had to see if it was right. And you know that great famous book of Hebrews? None other could have wrote it but Paul, because he knowed how those types and antitypes. What a beautiful lesson. Now Paul had met Jesus one day. Now I want you to stop to think. Jesus had been crucified, risen from the dead, and he was no longer walking this earth in a flesh body. But he says here, and he says, but Paul met Jesus one day, and he met him face to face on the Damascus Road where he was going down to persecute the Christians. Paul was a great brawler, giving out great threats and doing things against the church of God, making havoc of it, even persecuting it unto death. And one day on the road down, the reason he had this Christ-centered life is because he personally now, laying aside his teaching, he personally met Christ. Amen. He wasn't going off his teachings no more. When he went down into Arabia, he didn't go down there with a bunch of the disciples of Christ and sit down and say, now, brothers, let's discuss this and see where we're standing today. But what he had, he took those old precious scrolls, which we have the Bible today. We got the Old and the New Testament. And he went down into Arabia and he began to study. The experience that he had, the great light that had struck him down on the road, and the voice that spoke and said, I am Jesus, I am the Christ. And he began to compare all of his experiences back with that and began to watch it line up with the Word. And his life changed immediately. And it began to grow, and it just continued on, and he says, and that's the only way you're ever going to know him, is to meet him. Now, to know him is life, not even to know his word, as good as it may be. You've got to know him, and to know him is life. Amen. And oh, my saints, Paul had not had his experience yet, and he said, one place here, the life that I now live, it showed that he had lived a different life one time, a life that had been changed. And when your life is changed, it'll make you do things you ordinarily would not do, and it'll make you say things you ordinarily wouldn't say. A man that's got a Christ-centered life. Why, Paul stood right in the midst of the people, those Jews, so forth. He was one without one speck of fear with him, and he knowed he had believed. And he had a life that he would by no means have did it if it hadn't have found something that was genuinely and had anchored him. And I think any Christian should be that way. Every believer, you should never, I think especially ministers, should never try to enter the pulpit until they have met God upon the sacred sands where there is no philosopher can explain it away. Amen. You met God and you know it. Amen. And there's nothing can hide it away from you. Amen. And saints, it's really something you know whom you've met. If you've never met me and I come in your presence, you wouldn't know me. But if you know me, truly know me, and I come around and you would hear my voice, maybe not even see me, but you would hear my voice and you know my presence was there. And that's kind of without truly having met God. When he comes around, I wouldn't know he's here. I wouldn't know what he feels like. I wouldn't know what it means to truly talk to him. And until Paul had this experience, he didn't really know. But when he met God, it became a daily affair from then on. Amen. He had met him, and he knew he had met him. And nobody could explain that away from him. Nobody could take it away from him. He didn't have to say at that point, turn back and say, well, Gamaliel said. He didn't have to look back and say, well, so-and-so said. But he could look into the Word, and he let the Word take into his heart and life. And God was put in there, and he'd speak when God let him speak. But he had met something that was greater than he was. Amen. Yes. Amen. But I want you to, but look at how God shaped Paul and let the things happen the way he was. And how intellectual he let Paul get and how smart of a man Paul was. But God showed him that all of that was of naught. And it's the same thing if we look at it today. We can learn this message and learn this message till we can quote it and we know it and we know what was said and where it was said and why it was said here and there. All these different things. But that's not knowing God. Amen. That's not having had a personal relationship where you have met the one that was here in the form of that pillar of fire in this day. The very God that created the heavens and the earth that can come down into your heart and tear it apart. Take a grown man and just turn him into mush and make him bawl like a baby.
Amen.
And take and just in a total hush can just, the Holy Spirit is so great. God is so great when he's around. But oh my, if you've never truly met him, you wouldn't know that.
Right.
And you wouldn't know what it felt like to have him woo your heart and to speak to you. But oh, once you've met him, you'll never be the same. And you know, I was thinking, our brother even mentioned it last service, talking about Isaiah, when he come into the presence of God. And he seen those cherubims. And oh my, I'm a man of unclean lips. Look how small he felt. And even Paul, when the light struck him down on Damascus, and he bowed down and hit the dirt. What must I do? Look at the humility in their heart immediately. And I want to read something here about Moses. Same situation. A man that was raised up for a purpose. Born for a purpose. Born a prophet. Raised in Egypt. But listen here. This is in God hiding himself in simplicity. And I didn't write down the year it was preached, but it was 29:5. The paragraph says it would be in the seal book. He says, now notice. He had him trained in worldly wisdom so that he could fail. And show that it isn't wisdom that we'll ever be delivered by, but it's by faith that we are delivered. He let him go in and get such an education until he could teach the Egyptians wisdom. And he was so smart. And God was with that simple family who perhaps could not even write their name. And Moses was took into the highest of schoolings with such a great education until he could teach the wisdom of two teachers. And he could teach the genius. And God let him get that way so he could display himself in humility to show that wisdom has nothing to do with it. And Moses miserably failed in his genius. But he let him get this way for his purpose, so he'd fail, and he did fail, and he fell. To show you not by power and not by might, but not by wisdom of Egypt, and not the wisdom of our schools, and not by the power of our seminaries, and not by the amounts of our organization, not by the power of our scholarly teaching, but by my spirit, saith God. His wisdom was vanished, and as it ended, when he met God in a burning bush there, he took off his shoes, and he humbled himself to humility and forgot all about his wisdom. Oh my. When you come into that presence, oh, it's just so magnificent. And I can just, and oh, you say, how do you know what he felt? Oh, I've been in the presence of God. And know what it feels to feel him just mold you and break down your heart. But you know, I can imagine as he stood there when he spoke, that would have been something else. Oh my Moses. Oh. And God can speak to you today just as real with a reality. He won't speak lip to ear to us, but he can speak to your heart in such a reality that it's just as assurance that that was God speaking to you as this was when Moses saw that bush on fire. And he said, and he forgot all. God bringing deliverance had to train him in his wisdom to let him fall, to show that you cannot lean upon the arm of your own understanding or anybody else's understanding. He let him fall to show his hand. Can you see it? God's purpose in doing it was to display himself in humility. And he went on to say, he said Moses had enough military training. He had been conquering different countries around Egypt. And here God took him out there in the desert and handed him a stick and said, here, this is how I want it done. And oh my, as you look at us today in simplicity, oh my, we've had a wealth of knowledge of the message and a wealth of knowledge of the scriptures. Oh, I know what God said about this, and I know how to do this. And maybe our lives are still lacking because God hasn't truly revealed it to us. He hasn't took the time to meet with us and say, this is how I want it done.
Amen.
And we haven't listened and yielded to him. As he says here in... Amen. Let me see here. He says here, speaking, this is in Christ as the mystery of God revealed. Page 35, paragraph 242. He said, did you notice Paul never knew Jesus physically? Paul never knew him. The only way Paul knew him was by a revelation and by a vision. Is that right? Paul only knew Jesus by a revelation like Peter did. Peter had seen him in the flesh, but he didn't know him by the flesh. Why? Because... he says, because Jesus said so. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Even my own life didn't reveal it to you. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the thing to you. that he is the word of God, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Peter didn't know him by flesh. Man walked and handled him and everything else. But Paul had something greater than any of the apostles did. And they said, I got more revelation than you, Paul, because, you know, I walked with him. I went fishing with him. And one day I heard him talk, and he sat in a boat with me and actually told me, let's go over here and fish in this place, and we'll get more fish, and we did it. We've seen him do things. But Paul saw him after he was dead. Amen. You know, and I think when Thomas come to Jesus after the resurrection. And he said, come here, Thomas. Stick your finger in my side. But he said, blessed are your eyes, for they have seen. But more blessed are those that believe and have not seen. Amen. And saints, how great it is in the age we live in. We may not have walked with the prophet. And I don't need someone else's testimony to keep me enthused that God's going to turn back and that what Brother Branham said is the truth. But God has revealed to me that was the prophet of Malachi 4 that was in the scriptures. And by God's grace, he opened my eyes, and I pray that he's opened your eyes to see that what this is it. This is my absolute. And I don't have to hunt and search for an absolute no more. I found it. And God, sometimes he let things happen. You know, I often stop to think of it. Growing up as children, we were taught so well. And God has made it so wonderful that we have the books and the tapes to go back to. Yes, but Satan, on the other hand, turns around and tries to use it as a tool to fight God. And he'll enter in there and just say, well, you need to, you know, so many things. Let's just memorize quotes. That's great. Let's just keep memorizing all these quotes. Let's study this and let's put this here and that there. But that's not knowing God. But God is a personal vindication of himself to you. And when you get a personal vindication, it will show, because the very things he reveals to you will reflect back through your life. You say, he's been revealed to me. I've met him. And maybe we've still got a humongous temper. Maybe we still can't overcome this over here. Maybe I still don't reverence my husband. And we can say, oh, I know the message. As our brother even said Sunday, I know the message on marriage and divorce. And the little thing of that, the little thing of just a wife being under subjection, a husband loving their wife, do I lack that one thing? Then that message has not been revealed to me. It's lacking. And that's just one message, saints, of all that we have and that we've heard for years and years and years. But though I've been in a message church, maybe I've been following all my life, but have I truly met him on the sacred grounds of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a new birth that will turn my life around and make me a different person than I was? Because it's a reality. There's a reality to the new birth. It's not just saying I received the new birth and you just keep walking on through life, but it's a true, genuine reality, and it'll bring about fruits in your body that you cannot manufacture on your own. And it will produce another Christ in this day. Amen. Oh my, as he says here, Amen. He says, but Paul saw him after he was dead, buried, and rose again, and expressed himself in the pillar of fire that led the children out of Israel. And knowing Paul, being a Jew, would never have called that Lord unless he had seen that expression, and he was back the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he said, Paul, in other words, I'm the same God today that I was yesterday. And oh my, when you can see that, as Brother Branham quoted it many times, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And as God said, behold, I am the Lord, and I change not. Amen. Oh my, when you can dig into those scriptures, and you begin to look back in the Old Testament, and you can see what he was. And as you read and see him come into the New Testament and see what he was, and then see what he is in the word that we have today. And oh my, when you can see it all gel together and create a perfect picture in your heart. Oh, what a joy it ought to bring. Amen. And he says here, well, I got more. Let's see. But Paul, in other words, I'm the same God today. And he says, the pillar of fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush, no wonder he could separate the law from grace in the book of Hebrews. He had met the same pillar of fire. And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And here he is today in the same manner, by the same pillar of fire, expressing himself, vindicating himself the same, revealing the mystery of God that's been hid since the foundation of the world. And Paul only knew him by revelation. And Peter knew him by revelation. And that's the only true way you can realize that God has spoke to a people in this day, is by revelation. You might say, I know there was a prophet came and he preached the word, but if your life, if you deny one thing that the Spirit spoke through that prophet, it shows that you didn't recognize who that prophet was. Amen. And who was speaking through that prophet. And he walked with him. He talked with him. Therefore, you can set this word. He was the word. Now a scholar can sit down and read the word till he can just tie your mind up anyway. And there's many people that can sit down and discuss scriptures and run from this one to that one and this one and to that one and talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. And it gets so wound up that you can't. The Holy Spirit is humble and it's humility. And you know, I often stop and think sometimes about in times past as, you know, we've seen ministers just sit and talk and it was almost, it got to the point to where the reason they were talking was to show they had more revelation than the other one sitting at the table, was to show that they were more spiritual. That become the point of it. But that's not God. God is in the humble things. God is quiet and humble. Hey, man, you know, I think of everyone that's ever met him and come in contact with him when he was here in the flesh. And I think about the little woman at the well when she come up and he began to speak to her. It was just a calm conversation. But oh, when she realized and it was revealed to her who she was speaking to, her life was forevermore changed. And I think of all the different ones that you can look at through the scriptures. And you know, it happened on both sides. Look at Judas. He recognized after he had done and done what he'd done. He couldn't bear the thoughts and he hung himself because it changed his life. Even though he didn't have a seed in him, there was still a change that took place when he realized that he wasn't there. But oh, everyone he ever come in contact with, their lives was changed. Even the rich young ruler, as he come to him and he recognized, oh, good master, what must I do? But oh, he went away sad, but yet Jesus loved him. And oh my, what a terrible place to be to have been that close and to have missed what could have been for him. But oh my, here we each one sat daily with the word presented to us. We come and gather around the word and have it preached to us. But do I shut him off because it's a price I don't want to pay? Is it something that's too great for me? Well, if you've ever truly met him, there's no price too great for what he's got to give. Amen. Let me see. Let me go here to. Amen. Let me see. Amen. This is in the Message Ashamed, preached July 11th, 1965. Start here about paragraph 153 on page 23. He says, but it is a reality to a man or a woman, boy or girl, who is really a genuine Christian. When God made the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you receive it, there is something that settles within you that there is nothing can take its place. Whenever a man ever meets God, not some emotional workup, some enthusiasm or some religious doctrine, some creed, a dogma that he has accepted for a comfort for himself, but when he really comes to the place like Moses did on the backside of the desert, walk up face to face with Almighty God, and you see that voice speaking to you exactly with the word and the promise of the hour, there is something it does to you, see? You're not ashamed of it. It does something to you. Now let us look now for just the next 15 minutes. There are some people that wish to receive such an experience as I speak to you today. Not as a church or as a denomination. I speak to you as individuals. Not because you come here to sit at this tabernacle, but because that I love you and you love me. Not because of that. Let me speak to you as a dying mortal. That someday you've got to come to the end of this life. And I may not be there and another preacher might not be there. And there is only one who can meet you there, and that's God. And you listen to it, not whether my wife is a good Christian or my husband is a good Christian. But I'm right with God. But have I met God like that? Not because my pastor met God or because my deacon met God, but have I met God? Not because I shouted, not because I spoke in tongues, but because I met him as a person. Then you'll never be ashamed of that. There is something that's so perfect and true. And remember, you might meet a spirit that would act like God, and you might meet a spirit that would do this, that, and the other. Follow it a little bit and see how it compares with the Word of God. You might meet a spirit that would tell you you're saved and give you a glorious feeling and you would shout and scream. And then when it comes to denying the word, how can the Holy Spirit that wrote the word deny his own word? That spirit must punctuate every promise of God with an amen. And if it isn't, then you've never met God. You've met a deceiving spirit, and the world is full of it today. But when you see God come down and make a statement that he is going to do a certain thing, and then it comes back and does that time after time after time, then you've got a genuine spirit of God. And saints, it is so important today for each of us as we've gathered here to make sure that we have met God on a personal relationship. It's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to come and sing. It's wonderful to study the message. But there must be a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you. That you're not riding on someone else's revelation or someone else's go-to or knowledge. But it's got to come down to where it's between you and God. And if husband don't go, I'm still going to go. If wife don't go, I'm still going to travel on. Mom falls aside or dad falls aside, it don't matter. I am still moving on with Jesus Christ. And that experience is there for each and every one of God's little elect. And each one of us must meet him on his grounds. Amen. And have a personal relationship with him. Not just to know this word. Not just to be able to quote this Bible. Not just to be able to read off of these pages. But it's got to be a living reality in our hearts and our lives. Amen. Over here in the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed back over here on... Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. I won't hold you much longer. Amen. He says, see here. Amen. Peter said, "That this is on page 41, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. God alone holds this key. He expressed the same thing in a previous scripture there a while ago when I read it. He said, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this revelation here alone, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. See, now you see, so therefore there is no school, no theologians, no teachings of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. They cannot know nothing about it. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. And if you say he's been revealed to me, then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in him, does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. And oh my, how we ought to cry out to God for more, for revelation. And I want to read you something just as a type. And you know, we often come in here and we sit here, each one of us. But it is an individual affair. You're gathering here with you and God alone. You're not here as a family. You're not here as husband and wife. You're not here as with your mom and dad if you're becoming a young adult. But here in the message, I didn't mark my page. Yeah, I did here. But this is in the message, does God change his mind about his word? And just a little type that happened one time. Just as Cain and Abel, they also came together in a clash, them being brothers, and both of them the same mother Eve. And we find that they realized that they were mortal and they had been put out of life, out of the garden of life. And they both was trying to find a way back in there. And if you notice, both boys were very religious. Cain was just as religious as Abel was. And they both built altars, otherwise a church. And they both made sacrifice, they both prayed. And they served God, both of them, but one of them served him wrong. Now you see, you can be ever so sincere and yet be wrong. You can be wrong. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And we see this was so true with Cain and Abel. When they seen Cain saw that Abel's sacrifice was received, and I might stop here to say, why did God receive his sacrifice? It's because that he was, by a revelation, he understood that it was not apples. Or I believe now they got it to pomegranates, but he said Abel believed that it was blood, which it really was. And Abel, by revelation, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified by it he was righteous. And the whole church is built upon the divine revelation of the Word of God. Amen. And each and every one of us must have that divine revelation of God that shows that we have been partakers of that divine nature of God. And that personality of God is our personality now. It's replaced that personality that we once might have had. And it's got to prove and show that Christ is living on the inside. Amen. Oh my, that God has indwelled himself in us. as individuals. And yet that's a personal relationship that each one of us can have. And I just ask ourselves, do I know that I have met God? Do I know that I've met Him? That I know no one can take it from me. I know that it's when He's here. I know when He's near me. I know when He's around. Because He's always around us. He's always in us. But are we conscious, as our brother even mentioned here not too long ago, am I conscious that He's always with me? Never leaves me. He never forsakes me if I've truly met Him and He's been revealed to me. And He's made His abode in my heart. But if He hasn't and I truly can't answer that I've met God and that I truly know Him, and know Him, His life eternal, then may we really truly seek Him and search that out. And saints, maybe it ain't for all of us, I don't know. But if you want to, that message once again was knowing Him versus knowing the Word. If you would just like to re-listen to it one more time and let God speak to us. I believe He laid it on my heart for a reason to say those things. I wasn't thinking of that message in general, but all I could keep getting was, have you met God? Amen. And may we make sure that we truly know where we stand. Yes. As Paul was able to stand in his day, and all the things that assailed him, and all the people that tried to tell him he was wrong, and you don't need to do that, you don't need to go there, you shouldn't be doing this. But he stood firm on what God had revealed to him. Amen. And old Moses, when God revealed to him, and he went down to Egypt, there was nobody could sway him. It didn't matter, he stood right there. And he continued to do exactly what God told him to do. Noah, when God spoke to Noah and it was truly spoke to his heart, Noah began to build that boat and he never stopped. Mm-hmm. And he kept right on. And it doesn't matter in this day when God speaks to your heart, it don't matter how many people say, oh, you can trim the ends of your hair. It don't matter how many people say, oh, you don't have to dress like that. You can dress like this. You can wear lipstick. You can do all these other things. It won't matter if he's truly been revealed to you and you've met him. Because your desire will be to that word.
Amen.
And it'll match up 100% to what he's already said. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Just a little thing, but by the renewing of our minds, we'll be transformed.
Amen.
Amen. To be conformed to the image of his son. Oh my, to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad for what he's doing in my heart and in my life. Saints, you know, a long time we've all can look and see how long maybe a lot more of you have served the Lord a lot longer than I have. And I often stop to think of how God is each time here and there has drawn one and drawn another.
Yes.
And you know, I often stop and think, you know, when we, the church we grew up in, and we begin to think about leaving, and you know, my dad was my greatest hero and he left. But yet there was something down on the inside of me that wouldn't let me leave just because he was leaving. And it wouldn't let me do just because what he was doing, that was for me. And I had a long ways to go, trust me. But God knew, but I knew enough to go to God in prayer because I had a need. There was a place in my life that I had reached that I needed God greatly. And there's only one way when it comes to that point, you've got to get off by yourself. And it's got to come down to you and God.
Amen.
And that's the way it is with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you truly want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get off by yourself with God and you let everything else go.
Amen.
And you don't worry about nothing but just you and God. And you begin to cry and to pray and call out to God to show you and to reveal himself to you. And give God an opportunity to work in your heart and life. You can't do it in groups, saints. It's an individual affair. But God is always a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he's never failed. Any time I've ever needed an answer, he's always been right there. It may not come the minute you ask for it. You might have to wait weeks, maybe months sometimes to get an answer. But God will answer. And oh my, he knows just what we need. Hallelujah. I love him. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a chorus on your heart? Something you'd like to sing? Amen. Let's just sing that. To me, he is so wonderful. As our brother comes.
To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me,
speaking about Revelation and how Revelation, of course, is God revealing you what he's talking about. And he used the example Cain and Abel and so forth. And I was thinking, just trying to grasp in my mind, I guess, to just think again the reality of the whole situation. You know, here was two men. It's just like it is today. You know, you can preach the word and say exactly what that scripture says or say what God's prophet said, and one will sit there and for some reason, which we know what that reason is, something sparks and just comes alive, and it changes that individual as he spoke of, and even as it changed Paul's life. And to see that happening today in the hour we live, you know, we can read in the scripture, read back in the Old Testament what happened to those men, and we can read in the New Testament what happened to the apostles after they filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost revealed the word to them. They then knew exactly what God was wanting and desiring. But to see it come right on into our time.
Yes.
Oh my,
Amen.
When you can sit there and an individual may have heard the message for years. Take like the message we've been on marriage and divorce. Hear it for years. Ministers preach on it for years and still do not have it revealed to them. The most greatest things are simplicity. And yet, walk right over top of them. Then go right out and blaspheme and say things they shouldn't say. To me, that is so wonderful.
Amen.
No, we're living still in a time where he's the same today as he was yesterday.
Amen.
And shall be forever.
Amen.
Because he will reveal himself throughout eternity.
Amen.
Oh, my. Just think what God will reveal. Oh, my. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Yes.
Amen. When we leave this life and gather in a land in eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Where God will be in fellowship with him, in fellowship with us. He'll continue to reveal himself.
Amen.
I tell you, we may wonder, how did this Milky Way get formed? Or how did God do this? Or how did he do that? Just revealing all this to us. My, I'll tell you what a wonderful time this will be.
Amen.
But like I say, I know what it is to me by grace when something's revealed to me. Oh, my. I tell you, you can sit in a chair and feel like you're pedaling a bicycle. Your old feet are getting going. Amen. There's something on the inside just a bubbling, and you're excited and you see it. And like I said, just nothing can remove it. Nothing. You don't care how many people come against you or what they say. It's amen. I see it. It's right there.
Amen.
Glory to God. That is such a wonderful feeling.
Amen.
What is that feeling?
Amen.
Stimulation or revelation.
Amen.
Amen. What the Holy Ghost coming and revealing that word to you.
Amen.
Oh, my. Just think, know him is the life eternal. Not just know the word. Know him. Amen. We can pull up that chart there. Know him.
Amen.
Know him. That is him.
Amen.
Because he is the Word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. Is that right?
Amen.
The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Hallelujah.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word of God came and dwelt in us.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. It did. Hallelujah. And it's living in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, my. We got a lot to be happy for.
Amen.
Let's sing, of course. I've got so much to thank you for, so much to praise him for he has been so good to me.
Hallelujah.
And when I think of all he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank. Sing it one more time. gracious Lord. Oh, how true it is. We've got so much to thank you for. And Lord, it's so wonderful to have the very burning desire and the zeal inside, the hunger inside to thank you.
Yes.
And to appreciate what you do, Lord. How we're so thankful for what you've revealed to us. And Father, we ask that you would continue to reveal your word to us. Lord, and I wonder, as the days go by and the older I get, Lord, I see more and more why your prophet said, as our brother mentioned already, pray for revelation more than anything else in this life. Lord, because if we get the revelation of the word, oh, Lord, that just opens up a channel where you can move in every direction.
Amen.
So, Father, that's what we want in our lives, is you to move in every direction. Not us. We just want to be a vessel you can use and Father, that you can express through. But, Lord, we want to see you in action.
Amen.
You living, you expressing.
Yes.
Oh, God, that's what our desire is. Amen. So we thank you again for the word tonight now. And may we each search our hearts and our lives and make sure there's not just something we're just saying we got a revelation of when we don't. But Father, may we truly, by the Holy Ghost, be able to cipher whether it's really a revelation or whether it's just saying we know something in the word.
Yes.
But Father, I have a true revelation, led by the Spirit of God, living by the word. So we ask now that you bless us again as you already have this evening. And Father, if you should tarry till Sunday again, oh Lord, may you place in every heart the desire to be here, the hunger and pulling on the word of God.
Yes.
Again, Lord, to be fed by the word. Lord, and moved by the Holy Ghost. We ask that you would do that for us now. And we ask it in your most lovely and most precious, glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I've got so much.